Praise the Lord. Pray with me. Lord God, I thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to be together today. I thank you, Father, for your presence here among us. I thank you, God, that you are faithful and you are good and you are worthy of all of our praise. I thank you, Father, for the way that you are already at work in our hearts. I thank you, God, that you've been preparing us even for this moment right now. Lord, I ask that the words of my mouth would be yours today, God, that your a message would be proclaimed in this place, and that you would encourage us and challenge us and convict us and lead us into the center of who you would have us to be, and to the center of your will, and to the center of your grace. God, would you have your way for your glory? For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First of all, let me just say it is so good to see all of you here today. It is, like, I was talking to somebody about this before the service began, this doesn't exist anywhere else. Like, you need to understand, it really is awesome. It really is. There's a lot of buildings that might host maybe two congregations under one roof. I don't know anybody who has three, and I don't know anybody who gets them all together, and I don't know anybody who cooks like all of you. I'll tell you that right now. Amen. It has been a while since we've been able to do this, and I am so thankful that God has allowed us to all be under one roof, in the same room, at the same time, worshiping God together. This really is a treasure, and I hope that you value this. One of the great blessings of being able to pastor the Houston First Church of God is to be in partnership not only with Arabic Christian Church, but also with Iglesia. And we recognize, you know what? There's a lot of people that we will connect with as an English-speaking congregation, and they will have family members or neighbors that are not primarily English speakers. And it is so great for us to be able to say, well, hey, I've got two other churches that you can connect with, and I don't have to worry about what they're going to hear from the pulpit. Like, I know that God is working in all three of our congregations. It's amazing partnership that we have. And again, I'm just, this is not my sermon, by the way. But I am truly excited to be able to work together with the congregations as we do. And if we get to enjoy an amazing meal as well, then that's awesome, right? I mean, that's great. That's great. Today, I want to preach for you out of Jeremiah chapter 1. And so if you have your Bibles with you, you can go ahead and turn there now. We'll get to the text here in just a moment. But and we'll have the words up on the screen as well. The question, or what we're going to do over the next month, is we're going to work through the book of Jeremiah, and we're going to highlight a few texts throughout that rather large prophetic book there. But what we find here in the very first chapter is Jeremiah has this encounter with God in such a way that he's beginning to wonder to himself, he's beginning to explore and discover who he really is. And the way that he finds that out is peculiar, is a little bit different than maybe we might endeavor to do that today. And so my hope is that as we go through Jeremiah chapter 1 and the first 9 verses particularly, that we're going to be able to really ask ourselves, well, who am I? And who gets to decide who I am? And what do I have to do in response to who I am and what that needs to look like? So let's jump into the text here. Again, we're in Jeremiah chapter 1, and I want to start reading for you from verses 1 through 3. This is the words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, one of the priests of Anathoth, in the territory of Benjamin. The word of the Lord came to him in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, son of Ammon, king of Judah. And through the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, the king of Judah, down to the 5th month of the 11th year of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah, when the people of Jerusalem went into exile. Now, For some of you, after hearing all of those names and everything, you were just reminded as to why it is you don't really read the Old Testament very much, right? But in these few verses here, there's actually a lot that we need to unpack in this before we even get to the question of who Jeremiah is. Because the setting in which we need to understand is that as Jeremiah here is unpacking those who are ruling, there's a time frame that we are given that Jeremiah is living in, and it is basically right before the exile. So let me just kind of give you a real brief overview. God's people came from Egypt. They're wandering in the wilderness. They end up in the promised land. Once they get there, they mess it all up, right? To the point that God says, eventually, you cannot be here anymore. And since Babylon and Assyria, and they end up getting exiled away from the land of Israel. This that Jeremiah is speaking to right now, the setting that he's given is right before they are taken from the land and sent over to Babylon. Now, what that means is, the reason God did that to his people was because they were no longer living as his people. They were no longer walking in obedience. They were seeking after other gods and other idols. They no longer had submitted to him as the one true God, right? And so they had sort of abandoned their own faith. They'd abandoned God himself. And so what God was doing was giving them what they were asking for. They wanted to be free from God, and God was letting them be free from him. Now here's what's interesting about all this. Most of the people who were in the land at that time were no longer interested in hearing from God. Yet, here's Jeremiah hearing from God. Church, I want to encourage you today. Maybe you've noticed a little bit, but we find ourselves in a land and in a culture that is not all that interested in hearing from God. Maybe you haven't noticed, right? But we find ourselves surrounded by people and politicians and media and pretty much everything that is trying to actually quiet God down, that is trying to keep God from speaking into our lives. Maybe you've noticed that we are surrounded by people that don't want to hear from God. But the good news that I have for you today is that no matter how many people don't want to hear from God, God still wants to talk to you. He still wants to speak into your life. He still wants to encourage you. He still wants to challenge you. He still wants to show you your purpose. He still wants to give you some vision. Like, God wants to speak into your life. And if we are open to hearing from him, he will absolutely transform us. He will absolutely make clear for us who it is that we are, what it is we are supposed to do, and how it is we are supposed to get there. See, the struggle in all of this is it can be really easy to look at everyone around us and say, well, no one else is following after God, so maybe I shouldn't either. Well, nobody else that I go to school with is following after God, so maybe I shouldn't either. Nobody else that I work with is following after God, so maybe I shouldn't either. No other families in my neighborhood are following after God, so maybe I shouldn't either. And I just want to encourage you today, please hold on. Please just be open to the voice of the Lord in your life. Just let him speak to you. I promise God has a word for you. And if we will keep ourselves open enough to listen, God has some things to say to us. Don't let everyone around you keep your ears closed to what God would have to say to you. Now, here's what I want you to recognize as well. In this whole laundry list of priests and kings and all this kind of stuff, there's two people in here that I want to sort of highlight out of all this. One is that Jeremiah was the son of a high priest. All right? The name of the high priest was Hilkiah, and we actually see throughout the story of Jeremiah that his father's name comes up quite a bit. But there was also one of the kings that was mentioned in there was Josiah. Josiah is particularly interesting because he came to be king when he was 8 years old, right? It tells us here that Jeremiah began to hear the word of the Lord in the 13th year of Josiah. Now you might think, oh, Josiah's been doing this for 13 years. He's really got all this under his belt. He's 21 years old at this point with 13 years of king experience, or however you say that, right? Nobody else that's mentioned in these first three verses followed after God at all? Nobody. Those are the only two that are mentioned there that were actually seeking after God. Here's what I want to encourage you with. Before we get on into verse 4 and everything here, what I want you to recognize is that, again, I understand that there's a lot of people around us who aren't trying to seek after God. I want to encourage you to keep going after him, because there are some people coming behind you that need to hear a word from God, and your testimony, your life, your obedience to him, your submission to him is actually going to help them hear the voice of God. So I know it might seem like things are really overwhelming and things are just going terrible all around our world and everything like that, but I just want to encourage you today, please stay faithful to God, because even if you are the only one, someone coming behind you is going to see what God is doing in your life, and they're going to know that he can do something in their life as well, right? So please recognize that your faithfulness to God today, right, is going to help people tomorrow know who they are in the Lord, right? But we've got to stay faithful. We've got to stay faithful. I don't have all day. We're going to eat lunch here in a little while, and I don't want to keep anybody from that, so I better keep moving here. Let me jump into verse 4 of Jeremiah chapter 1, and it says, "The word of the Lord came to me," this is Jeremiah speaking, "the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart, and I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." Now, this is, I need you to understand this here. God knew Jeremiah, but not because he had been around Jeremiah, right? Let me try to say this a little bit differently. We are going to spend some time together eating a meal together in just a little while, right? And I will get to know you a little better as we are eating that meal together. And you will get to know me a little better as we are eating that meal together, as we're talking and sharing experiences. God didn't know Jeremiah like that. It wasn't like they'd been hanging out for a long time, and so God learned a lot about Jeremiah. No. God knew Jeremiah before Jeremiah was Jeremiah, right? God knew Jeremiah because he formed him, because he created him, because he breathed breath into his body, right? So we got to understand the distinction here. It's not like God was just hanging out with Jeremiah so long that they were just best buds and, you know, favorite handshakes and all this kind of stuff. No. He knew Jeremiah because it was his breath that Jeremiah was breathing, right? He knew Jeremiah not because they just been around each other, but because he actually formed him. Jeremiah was set apart and appointed before he could earn it, before he sinned, before he ever brought a sacrifice to make himself right before God. Like we just need to understand here, like, God knew Jeremiah, not even because Jeremiah was seeking after him. God knew Jeremiah, and God appointed Jeremiah. God set him apart even before he could do any of these things. Church, I got good news for you today. And that is that God knows you too. And God doesn't just know you because he's been hanging around with you. God doesn't just know you because you've been hanging around with him. God knows you because he formed you. You look like you do because God made you that way. So if you don't like it, take it up with him, right? Like, God knows parts of your life that you don't even know about yourself. Think about that for a second. God knows you so intimately. There are things that you don't know about you that God knows about you, not because he's been hanging around you, but because he formed you. Which means that as I understand it and receive this text here, I recognize that God has set us apart, and God has appointed us as well. And sometimes we might think, well, I don't know if God could appoint me to this or set me apart for that, because, you know, I haven't always really been walking with the Lord, and I don't really know every verse in the Bible and that kind of stuff. But here's what's so amazing about this, is that God knew you and appointed you and set you apart before you could earn it. He appointed you and he set you apart before you sinned. He knew you and he appointed you and he set you apart before you could even repent. He did these things even before you had the capacity to fix what you messed up. Amen. Which means that whatever life we've been living before we follow Jesus can't disqualify us. Oh, I just need you to know how awesome that is, right? Because some of you are going to walk in here today and think, oh, well, here's all the reasons why I can't. And I'm trying not to get ahead of myself here too much. But you're going to come up with all the reasons why you ought to be disqualified. And I'm just letting you know today, God has some things appointed for your life that are beyond what you think might disqualify you. Think about this. David did not cease to be king of Judah. Even after he had the experience with Bathsheba, he sought the repentance of God, and God forgave him, right? Peter did not cease to be an apostle of Jesus after he betrayed Jesus on the way to the cross, right? After he denied Jesus on his way there, he did not cease to be an apostle at that point. He still had that appointment. He still had that sanctification of being set apart as an apostle. Paul, even though he persecuted the Christian church, like when they started being called Christians even, right? Paul persecuted the church, but that did not cancel the appointment and the sanctification on Paul's life. Like, I need you to recognize today, there may have been some things in your past that are not of God. There may even be some things going on in your life right now that are not of God. But I need you to hear today that God still has an appointment for your life. God is still setting you apart, and that if you would turn and follow him, he's got life for you. He's got purpose for you. He's got destiny for you. He's got vision for your life. If we would simply recognize that nothing can keep us from God but us, then we would be able to live in the full glory of what he's called us to do and who he has called us to be. Amen? Let me just say as well, and these verses in particular, this is another reason why, like, the overturning of, like, Roe v. Wade and that kind of stuff is so important for us to understand as a church, right? Because it's one thing to recognize, like the value of life itself, right? And there's all kind of scripture we could get into there. But with this in particular, right, we need to understand, like there is purpose that is in our lives even before we are born, right? And so when we as believers in Jesus Christ recognize that there's a child in a womb, according to Jeremiah 1, that child already has purpose. That child already has an appointment. That child is already set apart. And so even beyond the sanctity of life itself, right, which is significant all by itself, we need to understand that these children who eventually are born that seem so helpless and can't do much of anything, right, even when they become teenagers, but don't get me started on that. Right? I'm trying not to make any contact with my kids right now. there is value and there is purpose that is there. And so as an understanding of who we are in our lives, we need to recognize, like, that is why this is so important. Because God has purpose and value that we need to protect as a people, right? Let me keep moving here. So in verse six, let me keep going here. Verse six. Jeremiah responds back to God in verse six, and he says, "Alas, sovereign Lord, I do not know how to speak. I am too young. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. The good news in these verses here is that it's not about our qualifications, right? It's all about our obedience. And I want you to watch this now because the original question that we were endeavoring to ask and to answer is, who are we? And who gets to decide who we are, right? But yet it's sort of shifted into this, what do we do? What are we doing? And who determines what we do, right? Many times we allow our history and our qualifications, if you will, to establish what we do in our lives. However, what God is telling Jeremiah here is, I don't need your qualifications. You were appointed before you had qualifications. You were appointed before you had age, right? It doesn't matter how young you are, right? I set you apart before you were even born, right? What do you mean you're too young? You've had this appointment on like forever, right? Jeremiah was appointed even before he was formed. He wasn't appointed because he was qualified, but rather, I think it's important for us to recognize, he was qualified because of the appointment of God on his life. Amen. He was qualified because God set him apart and had purpose in his life. See, when it comes to Jeremiah answering the question of who am I, what he needed to really ask himself is, who determines who I am? See, Jeremiah was under the impression that he determined who he was based on what he was good at, right? Well, I'm not very good at talking, so I must not be one who's gonna talk for the Lord, right? And what God was telling him was, no, who you are is not determined on your qualifications. Who you are is determined by what I say you are. Ooh, I hope you get this here. Oh, my goodness. Okay, I'm going to try not to do this in 3 hours. This is really, really important to get this here, because other people will try to tell you what you should do and who you are. Other people will try to tell you how you ought to live your life, where you ought to live, who you ought to be with, what you ought to spend your money on, how you ought to use your time. Like, other people have all kinds of plans for how you ought to live your life. And they'll tell you as well what you are not allowed to do, right? Other people will look at you and say, oh, you can't do that, right? Oh, no, I've seen you over in this area over here. You're not very good at that. Like, you really shouldn't try this other thing too, right? Other people will try to tell you that you're disqualified. Oh, I remember us coming up together, and I remember all the mess you got into. You can't be doing this for the Lord over here. Are you kidding me? Like, I remember bouncing in the club with you. Are you telling me? Like, I remember all the ways you created ways that you could sin in your life. Like, I was there when we were both doing dumb things together. How in the world are you trying to convince me that you can follow after the Lord now? You can't do that. Oh, people are real quick to remind you of what you're disqualified to do, right? When the reality is, they're just too insecure to recognize that they can change too, right? A lot of people will try to tell you what you're not qualified to do. And the reality is, sometimes we tell ourselves what we're not qualified to do, just like Jeremiah did. Jeremiah said, well, I'm too young. I can't do that. Right? We look at our own lives and we try to convince God that he picked the wrong guy, right? Well, Lord, I think I hear you saying to do this, but you must have missed something somewhere, right? I remember the day that the Lord called me into pastoral ministry to preach his word. and I was at Camp Marengo in Marengo, Ohio, and a friend of mine, we just got done praying. There were some things going on in each of our churches, and we were kind of praying for revival in that regard, and so we were done praying, and apparently we weren't very spiritual because we were the first two that were done, and so I was back at my chair, and we were waiting on everybody else, and it seemed like they were just taking forever to pray, right? And so I'm just at my chair, just doing my own thing, and I start praying to God personally, like about my church, about the church I was a part of. Like, Lord, however it needs to happen, Lord, just bring revival to the church, bring revival to the church. And I just remember hearing so clearly that the Lord saying to me, "Well, if it's going to start, it's going to start with you." And real quick, I was like, "Well, but see, Lord, no, but I don't really do that. See, like, there's." And I started listening to it. It was so funny. It was just like Moses at the burning bush. Like, you know it's God. Like, how in the world do you have this burning bush that isn't being consumed, and yet Moses is going to tell the burning bush, like, why he's not qualified? Like, the bush wasn't qualified to be a bush. Bushes are supposed to burn, and yet it wasn't doing what it was supposed to. And here God is calling Moses, and he's trying to tell it what it's supposed to do, right? It was that same kind of moment in Marengo, Ohio, where I'm trying to tell God what I'm not supposed to do, as if he's not God and I'm not as messed up as I am, right? And how many of us find ourselves just like Jeremiah in this same spot where we know God is speaking something into our lives? God is telling us, like, there's a step you need to take. There's a faith step you need to take. There's a ministry step you need to take. Like, there's a discipleship step you need to take. And yet so many times we try to tell Almighty God, who created all that is, that put breath in our lives, who formed us before we were formed, we try to tell him, "Oh, I think you got it wrong." It's ridiculous, isn't it? Yet, almost instinctively, that's what we do, right? The good news is that I don't have to see the appointment of God in my life. I don't have to see how I'm set apart in order to be set apart.
That's right. Amen.
Oh, I hope you get this today. Because this is where faith comes in. See, sometimes God is going to say some things about you and speak some things into your life that you're not going to understand. And just like Jeremiah, you're going to be able to list all the reasons why you're not supposed to be the person to do that. And yet what God needs for you is to have enough faith in him to trust him with what he's saying, even when it doesn't make sense in your life.
That's right. Amen.
That's where faith comes in. So when we ask ourselves the question of who am I, the answer really is, well, who gets to tell me that? Who determines this? Does my fear determine that? Because that's what Jeremiah was using, right? God even told him, don't be afraid. There's only one reason why God will ever tell you not to be afraid, and that's because you probably should be, right? The only reason he'll ever tell you not to be afraid is because the circumstances are scary, right? But that's what faith is. Faith says that no matter what it is that God speaks into my life, I'm going to say yes to him. Jeremiah's responsibility was not to prove to God what he couldn't do, but rather, Jeremiah's responsibility was simply to go and to say. Go and to say. His responsibility was to be obedient, right? He was who God said he was. He was a prophet of the Most High God, not because he felt like a prophet, but because God said he was a prophet.
Yes.
Okay, Lord, help me with this one here. You look in the mirror today, and you see yourself, and you see your history, and you see who you think you are. And what I need you to understand through the story of Jeremiah here is that who you see is irrelevant to who God says you are.
Amen. Amen. Yes, that's right.
I need you to catch that today, because there are some pastors in the room right now that don't know they're pastors yet, because you haven't heard God tell you you're a pastor. and you look in the mirror and you think to yourself, I can't be a pastor because I know that person in the mirror, and that person can't be a pastor. And what I need you to know is it doesn't matter what you see in the mirror. The only thing that matters is what God says about you, and are you going to say yes to him?
Amen.
There are some people in here that are missionaries. And when you look in the mirror, you don't see a missionary. You have an idea of what a missionary is supposed to look like, and you think to yourself, well, I don't look like that, so I must not be a missionary. And what I need you to understand is it doesn't matter what you look like. It only matters what God says about you. And if God says that he set you apart as a missionary, then you are a missionary whether you think it or not. Like, there are some people in here that are small group leaders and elders and servants in the church and all kinds of different ways. There's some Sunday school teachers in here. Oh, I know there's a Holy Spirit move right now. There are some middle school teachers in here. Lord, have your way. Have your way, God. There are some individuals who are willing to invest in some of our high school students that are in here right now. And you look in the mirror and you think to yourself, oh, God, please not me. Right? That can't be me. And yet the Lord says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Your job is not to convince God what you're supposed to do. Your job is only to say yes, to be obedient, to walk in faithfulness with him. You are who God says you are, whether you see it in the mirror or not.
Amen.
I got to keep going here. What is it that God is telling you about who you are? Maybe even a better question here is, like, who is telling you who you are? Like, as you think about your own life, who is defining for you who you are? What is telling you who you are, right? What are you giving value to that is able to define for you who you are? Is it God? Does God get a say in the value of your life and the purpose of your life? Does God get to tell you what you're going to do with your vocation, with your children and your home? Like, is God allowed to do that for you? Or are there other things that are actually telling you who you are? Maybe fear is telling you who you are more than anything else. And the reality is, fear is probably telling you who you're not. Because that's usually what fear is really good at. Fear's not very good at telling you who God created you to be, but fear is really good at telling you who you'll never be. And fear is always a liar.
Amen.
But sometimes,
Amen.
Fear is what's telling us. I want you to begin to imagine, even now, like, how could you allow God to tell you who you are? Well, maybe it's a matter of if you have yet to actually like commit yourself to reading God's word every day, maybe that's the step you need to take. It's like, you know what? I'm actually going to start reading the Bible in such a way that I'm going to let God's word tell me who I am, right? Maybe it's a matter of being intentional about finding someone who can disciple you. Maybe it's like recognizing, you know what, like I've been trying to figure out who I am my whole life and it hasn't worked all by myself. What I really need is someone who's farther along in terms of spiritual maturity. And so I just need to find someone who I know is going to be praying for me, that I know is going to be leading me and encouraging me and showing me God's word and all these things. Like maybe the step you need to take is to really just connect with someone who can disciple you and help you discern who you are in Christ, right? What would it look like? I mean, imagine this for me. What would it look like to stop telling God why you can't do something and just start saying yes to him? Now, that does sound terrifying, doesn't it? What would it look like if we stopped telling God why we can't do something and we just said yes? Not because we're qualified, not because our history says we can, but because he has spoken something into our lives. The last verse that I want to share with you is Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9. And it just simply says, "Then the Lord reached out his hand, and he touched my mouth, and he said to me, I've put my words in your mouth." How did that happen? Like, how did the words of God get into his mouth? Like, I gotta be honest with you, I don't really get how all that works. I don't know how God touching his mouth, like, all of a sudden puts the words there or whatever. But I do know that we have the entire book of Jeremiah as proof that Jeremiah walked by the faith that the touch of God changed who he was. And the word of God came through Jeremiah. And so what I want to invite you to today, I want to go ahead and invite the worship team to come on up. I think Iglesias worship team is going to help this way. What I want to challenge you with is, here in just a moment, all the pastors are going to come. And in fact, Pastor Huber and Pastor Solomon, if you want to come and stand up here, I'll come down there and join you here in just a moment. We are not God. Let me clarify a lot of things here. There are so many ways that we are not God. However, I do think there's something significant to taking a physical step of faith and to actually having someone to lay a hand on you. We're not going to touch your mouth, don't worry. Like, we're close enough to COVID that we're not going there, right? But we just want to lay a hand on you and just pray for you that you would be open to hearing God's word in your life. And maybe as you're sitting there today, you got all kinds of reasons for why you don't want to hear from God. And maybe you're just absolutely terrified to think, oh, well, if God tells me who I am, then I'm going to have to say yes to him. And we're like, yeah, that would be awesome, wouldn't it? Like it's absolutely amazing. Imagine that you actually know who you are, that you're able to walk in that in full confidence, knowing that I don't have to wonder anymore, do I have value in my life? I have value because God said I had value. I have purpose because God said I had purpose. Maybe, just maybe, you're one step away from actually taking that faith step to say, God, whatever that looks like, I want it to look like that in my life. And so we're just going to be up here as we're singing. We're going to sing a couple of songs or whatever as we're singing. If you want to come and just have one of us to just lay a hand and pray for you, it's not going to take all day. We want to put the word of God in your mouth. That whatever it is he's saying about you, you would say yes to him. Yes, yes. Stand with me if you would. However it is that God is working in your heart, maybe you just want to come to an altar of prayer and just kneel and just submit yourself to him. Feel free to do that. If you'd like for one of the pastors here to just lay a hand on you and pray for you, come. Come. If you just want to sing and worship unto God in submission to him, you do that as well. However it is, you say yes to the Lord, even right now, even as we sing.